living the life? High life, the good life? Are you? Are you living the spiritual life? Crying. Somebody who's honest in the group. Yes. Thank you. Awesome. Just for you this morning, evidently. Beautiful. I love it. And myself, I'm sure. We're going to go to the book of Matthew this morning because we want to live a more godly life, do we not? Yes, we do, correct? That's why we're here. That's why we sit here each Sunday or other times in between to really get to know God, to get to know Jesus. Not to know about him, but to know him intimately. And then once we know him, to know exactly his nature, the spiritual nature of who God is, we now want to imitate that and duplicate that, do we not? So then we can show other people what life is like when Jesus is the one that operates your mind, your heart, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, and everything. Correct? That's how you have the great life that God wants for all of us. So you ready for that this morning? You want to know how to have that? Beautiful. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I'll begin there. Jesus said to the disciples, speaking to you also, if any of you want to be my follower, you must, ready? Are you ready to do it? Whatever it says here, you're going to do it, correct? Okay, all right, but I'm waiting for 100%. I'm waiting for yeses on Facebook. I want a hearty yes. You must, you ready for it? You're going to do it, yes? Beautiful. Put aside your selfish ambition. Crickets. I'm so excited about doing that. I'm going to put myself aside. I'm going to put aside my way for God's way. Come on, where's the excitement? I've lost the crowd here. I lost you fast. I was in the first sentence. I wonder how many of the disciples just turned and ran, right? Peace out. I'm out of here. I don't want that. Put aside yourself for God, for others, what you want, for what God wants. You're going to exchange that to have a better, more prosperous, more wonderful, more spiritually blessed life. Wouldn't you want, if you knew life was going to be better spiritually, meaning you'd always have peace of heart and mind, you could trust God implicitly, you could ask anything in God's name, wouldn't you want that, right? Yeah, now I want something back, God. I'll take it for the blessings. I'll give up myself so I can get more in return. Oops, it doesn't say that here, though. Sorry. By the way, previous to this, is when Jesus tells Peter he's heading to Jerusalem to die for humanity, to sacrifice himself for the good of all of us so we could each be forgiven of all of our sins and have eternal life. He told Peter that. And what does Peter say? No. Not you, Lord. Don't say it's not so. You're going to bring the kingdom of God down and you're going to get rid of these Romans and we're never going to be oppressed again. We want a political leader who's going to free us and give us all the good things in life. And what does Jesus say to him? We know the line. Get behind me, Satan. You're a trap for me. Because, see, Jesus was human too. Keep that in mind, right? So Satan was trying to use Peter to say to Jesus, are you sure you want to do it for these people? You know what they're like. You really want to die for them? We know all about them and their sins, and I've got a whole bunch of them over here for myself. Let me keep those people. You don't go redeem them and set them free and give them God's kingdom in the heavenly realms and on earth. See, Satan's trying to trap Jesus, right? Into being what? Caring about only who? Himself. His selfish ambition. After all, he was God. He could have just, like, back gone. That's it. I've had enough of this. I don't have to die. Right? And what Jesus says in response is, you're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not God's. See, all of us have a human point of view all the time, do we not? We think of things in the earthly realm. You know, we think about our life and what we're doing and what we're accumulating, what we have and what we want and where we're going in our future. And, you know, we have all that, do we not? We have our goals and our dreams and my this and my that and all those other things. And we look at other people from a human point of view. These people are okay. Those people aren't any good. Get rid of them. Keep these. Right? Do we not do that if we're honest? Like the guy in front of you driving too slowly as an example. Get out of my way. What an idiot. Can't drive right. Many times our humanness overshadows and overtakes our godliness, does it not? What do we want? The opposite, correct? You want the life that God wants you to have, right? Which is a life full of joy and peace and love. Mostly, well, we know, not mostly. God is love. Right? Unconditional love. That's who God is. So whenever we have unconditional love in our mind, our heart, and in our actions and in our words, we're acting like God. And when we love even the unlovable people, the messed up people, the not so good people, did I say messed up already? Okay, speaking about myself again. So we love them the way God does, unconditionally. When we're in relationships with one another and some people in our lives have faults. Not all of them. No lying from the pulpit, so sorry. So we all have faults, do we not? We all have ways to irritate and annoy one another, don't I? We. But you love anyway, right? You overlook those faults, do you not? That's how God is with us. He looks at the totality of us. He loves us, in spite of those faults and flaws. And he ignores the bad and he looks for the good. And he teaches us how to be more like him. But that's why he sent Jesus the example. But it begins, there's more to this sentence. I guess I'm going to have to keep going. So far, you're going to put aside your selfish ambition, your human nature, correct? All right, that's gone. Okay, beautiful. Now, you're going to shoulder your cross, which means on the cross is where self dies. Each and every day, more and more of our self needs to go, does it not? Less human, more divine, correct? So the cross, we have to shoulder it, carry it. So that we remind ourselves when we have the cross, we say, less of me, more of you. Whatever I'm thinking in the human way, when I want to have revenge, or if I want to think ill will of someone else, or I want to, you know, have a grudge against somebody else, or I don't want to forgive them because of what they've done, that's where the self has to do what? Die. So God steps in, correct? Shoulder your cross. So ready to shoulder the cross. So far, there's only two things you have to do so far. You doing good so far? Sort of. Okay. And follow me. Where's Jesus going? The cross. He's going to sacrifice himself for humanity. He's going to give up his way for all of everyone, no matter who they are. Follow him. And he may teach you, and he may ask you to follow you into places where other people are that you may not necessarily approve of or want to accept. People that are not as perfect as you and me. Yeah. And what makes us imperfect is our ability to judge and criticize and condemn. Because God is perfect. What makes God perfect is he forgives everyone. Right there, in and of itself, that's the only time Jesus said to be perfect as the Father is perfect. Forgive everyone, regardless of what they've done to you. And he says, if you try to keep your life for yourself, it's going to be, a very small life. You'll lose it because it's temporary, right? Life is not made up of just what this earth is it not? And it's not just in the things that we do that give us pleasure. It's more about how we sacrifice ourselves, and then we get real life out of it. Because that's what he says. Listen what he says. If you give up your life for me, you will find true life, significant life, valuable life, real life. Things that get you up in the morning where you feel alive and you just can't wait to go help somebody else. And you get a blessing in return for that. Your heart gets fuller every time you serve somebody else, right? Okay, a couple of you hanging on, okay. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world? Like, we could amass all kinds of things, right, in this world, in the earthly realm. Can we not? But you lose your own soul in the process. See, when we put something or anything above God, we lose a piece of our soul every single time. And our soul, I don't know how big it is, but I do know this. Every time we do wrong, every time we don't forgive, every time we hate, every time we have anger, every time we seek revenge, every time we have an unkind word, every time we praise God with our lips and then cuss out somebody else on the road, that tears a little bit away of that soul, does it not? Because what's a soul made up of? God's Spirit, right? God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's separate and set apart from human, the human spirit. And the human nature. God's nature is different than ours, is it not? Do we understand that concept? That's why you're having so much trouble with the sermon this morning. Because your human self is going, oh, could she talk about anything else this morning? Huh. Is anything worth more than your soul? Not a thing. Not a thing. Some people have sold their soul for so many things that when they had that thing, it didn't make one difference in their life eternally, does it? For I, the Son of Man, will come in glory with his angels and will judge all people according to their deeds. What we do is what we're going to be judged for. Deeds are not just actions. They're also words we say, right? Because very often our words, our thoughts lead to actions, do we not? So we're going to be judged one day for our deeds. And the question is I guess it was already spoken earlier and during that time of prayer. We're going to be judged by how well did we love? Did we love well? Did we live a life of love? Did we live like Jesus lived? What kind of life did we lead? One that we amassed all this wealth and all these things and all these so-called temporary whatever successes that fed our egos and got us applause of people? Okay. After the applause is gone, how long do you still hear the clapping in your ears? But if you save a soul, if you made a difference in a person's life, if you transformed their life for something better, that lasts how long? Forever. Forever. When you make a difference in the life of a child, you change their entire future and the future of other generations as well. It goes on and on and on, does it not? When we live a life like Christ is asking us to live, meaning myself doesn't matter, only God matters. I set aside myself, my wants, my needs, my desires, and I only want and need and desire God. What a blessed and awesome life that gives us, right? So you have to, guess what? You're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and you're going to deny yourself. How many of you can't wait to wake up in the morning? Deny myself? You get the rest of the day. Just in the morning. No, it's for the entire day. No loopholes here. You have to guess what the word is. You have to say no. I'm getting a no for my no. What if Jesus said no to the cross? What if Jesus said no to God when God said, go save my people. Go bring them restoration. Go mend their hearts. Go heal their sick. Go raise their dead. What if Jesus said, no, I'm comfortable here in heaven. I kind of like it here. And look at them. You want to save them? Are they worth it? What would God say? What did Jesus do? He said yes. Now we humans would probably be like more like bargaining with God. Can I go if I die? Can it be a firing squad? Because that'll be faster. Does it have to be crucifixion? The most horrific death there ever was? And torture? Does it have to be that way, God? Do you notice Jesus, he did whatever God asked him to do. He said no to himself, and he said yes to God. That's the example we're to follow. Now, isn't it good to know you don't have to necessarily die for him? Whew. Right? He even gives us grace for that. We have to say no to yourself and yes to God each and every moment of every day. We make decisions and choices every day, do we not? All the time, do we not? Yes. And some of the choices we make need to have a no first. And other choices need to have a yes, correct? Do you know the difference? You're going to have to learn the difference. The more you know God, the more you know what no means. And it's not like maybe you can do that. It's no means no. Yes means yes. Your earthly desires have to go. Okay? You good? You good with that? Not so much. You're going to give up what you want for what God wants. Right? You know, here it is. We're in Florida this morning. I mean, half the church is empty because it's so cold. I'm going to stay in my warm bed. Turn the heat on. Drink hot coffee. I wish you would have said no to that and been here instead. We're creatures of comfort, are we not? Oh, man, you don't even know some of the things that we want to be comfortable about, right? Right pillow, right blanket, you know, right? We get our stuff, right? Got to be comfortable. God's calling us to be uncomfortable. Okay, ready? Okay, I guess I better move on to Colossians, huh? Yeah, there's more to this, I'm afraid. So if all you want for this morning is part A of this sermon, give up your selfish ambition. Carry your cross. Stop being worried only about yourself, wanting God more than you want what you want. Say no to the things that God wants you to say no to and say yes to God every time he calls on you and asks you to do something. Beautiful. You're going to have a great life just by doing that, right? Oh, man. Woo-wee. This is a tough one this morning. Okay. Well, God told me to preach it, so I said yes, so I'm on. This is, it's on God, not me. All right, so chapter 3 of Colossians. Now, most of you or maybe all of you are Christians in here, right, that have given your life to Christ? Okay, I got more yeses. So therefore, chapter 3 of Colossians, since you have been raised to new life, see, a new life. It's not your human life died with Christ. On that cross, you died. Your old life died. And guess what? You got a brand new life. Isn't that good to know? Brand new life. You can pick anything to do with this life. How cool is that? Wouldn't you like to start over? I mean, I just had a birthday, right, and I'm something old. And what I found is... What I found is you can have brand new life even at any age, right? God can give you new visions, new dreams, new ways to serve, new ways to love, new ways to be loved all the time, ways for you to change and grow. Because hopefully I'm not the same at this age as I was at like 14. Now, some days maybe all right I am. But when you were raised with Christ, you have a new life. And here's what he says, Paul. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, what God is like, where God is, what God's spirit is like, right? The heaven is where God is, right? But also who God is. There's a nature around that, a character of that. Where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Why does he sit at a place of honor and power? because he sacrificed himself, right? He got moved up the ladder. He was promoted to the top position because he gave away his human self for God's self. He exchanged that for a beautiful throne in heaven. How cool is that? And it's not only in heaven that we get promoted spiritually or emotionally or physically speaking. Every time you give up for something to God, God blesses you with something better in an emotional, spiritual way. And your life is more fulfilling. Anyway. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Some of you think sometime, right? Okay. So. Studies actually show, you've heard me say this before, that we think 500,000 thoughts a day on the average. And when you have a big brain like me, it's probably 537,000. But anyway. Lots of thoughts, right? And thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions, correct? So do you notice why Paul is saying, fill your mind with the thoughts of heaven? What's what you want to focus on, right? We heard it last week. Whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's wonderful, those are the things you want to fill your thoughts with, right? Because otherwise your thoughts will just be hanging around, bopping around in your head. You know, when I was a kid, you know, you used to have that fish game. Remember that one? Anybody here remember that? It was like a little roundy thing with water, and the little fish would go by, and you try to catch it, right? And you got a prize, a goldfish, right? That's what happens with our thoughts, though. They all go by, right? And you got to catch the right ones, don't you, to get the prize. Think about things that are lovely and beautiful and wonderful. Think about all the good things you are and the good things in your life and the good people that are around you, right? But you have to put your mind on those things. Do not think only about things down here on earth. And we can get bogged down on earth, can't we? Gravity, negative thinking is like gravity. It can hold you down, can it not? Negative thoughts, the things that are going on, if that's all that's inside of your mind, things, and then there are awful things happening right now around the world. We do not deny that. But we cannot dwell on that if we cannot change it. But we can pray about it, and that's going to change everything. Right? Or we can do something to help in some way, shape, or form, take some kind of action, perhaps, like as beautiful people in Poland are doing right now and around the world, right? There are things we can do, but thinking about it does nothing, does it? It only brings you down. So fill your thoughts with things of heaven. Don't think about only about things down here on earth. When you died in Christ, your real life is hidden with Christ. That's where our real life is. And when he's revealed to the whole world, we're going to share in his glory. What a day that's going to be. Huh? Yeah. And you can share in his glory now. There's such a thing, I call it heaven's broadcasting network. Thoughts that come from God, directly from heaven to us. They come in, right? Good things. Go do that. Go help that person. Pray for this person. Oh, run over there and help that person, right? Everything's going to be fine. I'm going to work all these things out. Watch what I do and see what it's going to transpire, how I'm going to bring victory upon even this awful thing that's happening right now, right? Those thoughts come into our head too, do they not? Yeah. When you're receptive to it. If all our mind is all down here, I think I saw something the other day that said, let's go out to eat together and we can all look at our phones. What in the world? Just think about how Satan's using, you know, us not having any attention and relationship with one another. We're so busy on what's going on somewhere else, right, sometimes. Or we got to post what we've just done because we need, oh, wow, I have a great life. I ate pancakes today. Man, they were great, too. My, look at them. They were perfectly round. Oh, I'm sorry. All I'm saying is this. Those are not the things that really matter, are they? What do we put some heavenly thoughts out there? This is what God did for me today. This is something that I believe about God. This is something I know about God, or whatever the case, testimony, right? Have you all got something good going on in your life? Anybody, please say yes. All right, good. That was a nice bet. That's much better. I like that. And for those of you that have given up your selfish ambition, isn't it wonderful? All right, we're getting there. All right, I'm freaking you. Anyway, so here's what he says. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, shameful desires. Don't be greedy for the good things of this life. You used to do them when your life was still part of the world. See, you know, we can all struggle with those things, can't we, when we're part of the world and we think we need something more than we need God. But now is the time. Ready for this? Ready? No, this is going to get rough again, so hang with me now. Now is the time to get rid of, because we're in Lent, right? Remember this? This is the season we're in. If you remember, you know, one of the things God had asked me to ask you to do is for us to get rid of some things, right? And then to add some things into our life, correct? So good. Are you ready for that now this morning? So far we've gotten rid of self, correct? Let's say 7 or 8 or 9 of you. Okay, good. Then we're good. That's enough. 10%. That's good. Now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, slander, and dirty language. Who said what? Wow, I lost somebody right there. You mean I can't cuss at the guy in front of me driving anymore? Oh, boy, sorry. I wish I could recognize that voice because we'd have to have a conversation later. But needless to say, don't lie to each other. You've stripped off your old nature and all its wicked deeds. Whoa. Have you? Going to? After today you will, because we could be here a while. I mean, I know I got to be somewhere, but this is an important message for all. Because do you want a better life? Do you want to feel happier and whole and more fulfilled? Do you want to have peace of heart and mind? Do you want to enjoy everything every day and feel good about you and others? All right. So you got to get rid of this stuff. It no longer serves you. It's no use to you. It's the way of the world. There's plenty of hate out there. We're seeing terror all going on with evil. It's destroying lives. But God is a restorer of lives. We are restorers of lives. We're here to build people up, not to tear them down. Correct? We're here to love the way Jesus loves, right? Yes. You've stripped off your old evil nature and its wicked deeds. In its place. Get ready for the game. We're getting to something good now. In its place. You've clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that's continually being renewed. So there's good news for all of us. It's going to continue to be renewed. It's not like if you didn't make it, you know, so far over here, you got a few things you still haven't gotten rid of. God, you're a person in progress, right? It's a continuous process as we grow spiritually. And you happen to be in the right church if you remember who we are and what we are and what our vision is. Spiritual enrichment and growth. Continual growth. As you learn more and more about Christ, not about him, but who is he really? What's his nature? What would he do? What would he say? How would he react? You see it throughout the Gospels, right? You see it in your own life, right? How many times has God forgiven you? Uncountable. And if you mess up even this morning because you're having trouble with the self thing going on here, he'll help you. He'll help you through his spirit. See, he's a co-changer, co-creator with us. Awesomeness. You're not doing this alone. Isn't it good news? You've got a support system here. Do you not? We're not going to judge you where you are. We're not going to point out what's wrong with you. Aren't you glad about that? And please don't point out what's wrong with me. Anyway. who created this new nature within you. When we came to Christ, a new nature was put in, a new heart, a new spirit. God came within, correct? And we began to become new. Now, we still have that human nature part of us, correct? That's why we have to keep getting rid of stuff. Anybody here, when you get dressed in the morning, take out a couple of shirts or blouses or slacks and go, oh, I'm going to wear, oh, no, I don't look good in that. No, put that aside, put that aside, put that aside. Anybody here besides me put a bunch of stuff on the bed and go, oh, I'm not going to, oh, that's, I'm not going to wear that today? Anybody besides me? Am I the only person that does that? Okay. That's the same thing with our spiritual nature. When you put something on, you got something going on in your life, and if it isn't good and it doesn't feel right and you know you're not doing the right thing, maybe you lost your temper. Maybe you were impatient. Maybe you, whatever it is. I don't know what your stuff is. I'm only speaking about my own. But needless to say, you put it aside, right? And put on something new instead, right? And here's what Paul says. Let the words of Christ in all its riches live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. We do that, right? And whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Ready to do that one? How does that happen? Self has to die. Your selfish ambitions have to go. You have to get rid of all the things that Paul wrote about. You can go look them up for yourself. And I know sometimes we like multiple choices. Okay, well, I don't do that. I'm not lustful. All those things must go. The human nature has to go so the godly nature can come, right? One of the things I often think about in visual to me when I think about my Christian walk or our Christian walk, I think about Michelangelo. He sculpted David, and he actually talked about having an angel in the marble. That's one of his pieces. He gets a slab of marble, and he sees an angel in it. And then, of course, he did the Sistine Chapel, right? Beautiful, what a representation of God is in his mind, right? Two beautiful examples of he's a sculptor and a painter, right? Both things. What's a sculptor do? They take a piece of marble. They have a model, right, that they're looking at first, right? And what did they do with that marble? They chip away. They bang it and break away and get rid of the things that are not the picture it wants to be. That's what we have to do with our life with Christ. The parts of us that are not that image, not that model of who Jesus is, that has to get chipped away. And on the other side of it, because we talked about getting rid of some things, self, for one, which is going to be a big one. If you get rid of self, most likely all these things that Paul wrote about are going to go too, correct? Because our earthly desires, our human desires are going to go away too. But then you add on too, and that's what painting is, right? So we have a painting pastor in our church, as you well know. We're just blessed with that. So this is how we're going to look at our sermon this morning. What's a painter do? May you bring me your sample, please? So that's back. Yes. Yes, please. Black backwards, please. So basically, this was a piece of wood. Come over to the front, please, so the everybody on Facebook. This used to be a piece of wood. And then on this side, it was painted. Pretty good. This person came to Christ. Beautiful. Ta-da! They were plain, now they're brown. Beautiful color of brown, I must admit. But what does God want to do? What does Jesus want to do with us? He wants to add to us, right, our spiritual nature. And so as a good artist that this woman is, and just the way God is the master artist, all of us, if you think about it, we're artists in our own life, are we not? And some of us have all kinds of various brushes, right? Each one of us is a brush, if you will, in other people's lives sometimes, correct? Are we not putting things on people's lives by how we treat them? Are we not coloring it? Yes? So we take something in our first life. We become a Christian. And we're talking about spiritual growth, are we not? So what do we add to that? We add love. We add peace. We add joy. We add forgiveness. We add grace, correct? And then all of a sudden, you can turn around. There's a different picture of who we are. And this is who we become. This is who we are as a church even, right? Where it says all are welcome. And we have nice little sunshiny sunflowers. Because that represents our smile very often. This is a Christian who has grown. This is a Christian on the outside you can visibly see by their way they treat others that truly all are welcome, right? So we can begin, you can turn it around. You can stay at this type of a Christian, should you like. And that's all fine. But we're not here for that, are we? We're here to be more than that, are we not? Very nice. Oh, she's a great one, great helper. So, thank you. So here's you. Brand new Christian. You have a canvas that God has given you of this new life, because it's beginning today, correct? When self is gone, this is what happens. Brand new, empty vessel that God can use, right? The question is, what are you going to paint on that vessel? What are you going to add in your life, spiritually speaking, that makes this a beautiful picture? Because this is where we all begin, is it not, when we give our life to Christ? But where are you going to end up? What are you going to show this world? And I know there's some ugly things that we sometimes see based on human beings, correct? But that's not us, is it? That's not us, is it? No, very nice. Very nice. We want to show people that we are there through the rainstorm. We're there, and God is our umbrella. And we're here to protect one another. Just a small example of what someone can become. So just like Michelangelo, who, you know, with his artistry, made that beautiful Sistine Chapel his description of God, you yourself are God's masterpiece. Ephesians tells us that as well. When you get rid of all the stuff, and sometimes we have boards around and you have things in your life that you got to paint over, right? And start off from scratch again, correct? Go back to the beginning. Start off with a brand new empty canvas. That's called repentance. That's called giving yourself back to God and surrendering and say, take my life away from me and give me new life, your life, the life you want me to have. And let me put on it only those things that will bring you glory, God. Let my life be filled with love first and foremost. That's the backdrop. And forgiveness and mercy and grace and service. What a beautiful world this would be, right? For all of you little Christ, who show the world that you've cut out of that sculpture what used to be part of you, has now become the face of Jesus Christ. And your life went from nothing to everything about God. And you bless the world. Every time somebody sees you, I want them to see a beautiful sunflower as representative in that awesome picture we have here at our church, where all are welcome here. And all are welcome into your arms as well, because that's who Jesus Christ is. Right? Absolutely. So you have to think about for yourself which part of these scriptures you actually are going to truly say yes to. And moving forward, what are you going to say no to? That's between you and God. But I do know this. You can have a much better, blessed, awesome life if you'll think about things of heaven and not so much the things of this earth. If you'll say yes to God and no to yourself, you'll have an awesome life. Amen.